Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our main church service. Welcome to those on the phone, and those listening to the recording, and those that have tuned into WLMR Radio. Glad to have you in fellowship and joining with us today in worshiping our God in spirit and in truth. Got a very important subject matter for today, and so let's get right into our service. Our opening song is I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords.
I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen, and thank you, dear ones. If we have Jesus, we have everything. But without him, we have and are nothing. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads. Our dear beloved Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for making possible our salvation by sending Jesus to be with us. And thank you, Jesus, for becoming our substitute, surety, sacrifice, as well as our Redeemer and Savior, Sanctifier, Purifier, and High Priest. Dear Savior, I pray that you will continue knocking on the door of each one of our hearts until we open and let you in. And dear Savior, transform us into your image and help us to avoid all the traps and snares and pitfalls of the enemy to try and divert our attention away from you onto other things of so much lesser importance. Because if we have you, we have eternal life. And without you, we're dead. We thank you, dear Savior, that your word of truth is indeed filling this dark world with your glory, with the knowledge of salvation as the waters cover the sea. And thank you so much for not passing us by, but coming to dwell with us and to live within us. Thank you so much for your great love, and we love you too. And we thank you, Father, for continuing to dwell with us, dear Savior, for being here with us, and dear Spirit, for continuing to work upon our hearts to lead and guide us into all truth. And we pray that you will, in a special way, open our understanding that we may comprehend more fully the importance of getting our bodies purified and cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh as well as spirit, so that we may have clear minds and thus be able to understand the difference between truth and error, right and wrong, righteousness and sin, and thus have more ability to flee to the Savior when we're tempted to do something wrong and determined to resist and perform the will of God and thus receive the grace and strength to gain the victory through Christ, who's made it all possible. Thank you so much, dear Godhead, for being here in our midst, and I pray that you'll continue to be with those that are hungering and thirsting to want to know the truth, to want to be healed, to want to be freed from bondage to guilt and sin. And thank you for letting the uplifted Savior be presented as a remedy for all of their desires and needs. Help us indeed to get ready, for our Lord is coming and time is short. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This is part 30 in our series, To Love the Lord Thy God, and we're dealing with the physical aspect. We've gone through the mental, we've gone through the spiritual, and now we're in the physical. And last time we learned that God purposely created our bodies to function in the precise way that they do. And this is not just to be able to live, but to teach us important and valuable spiritual lessons. We discovered that there were 8 different major areas that govern our ability to live and function, and each of these areas have laws that must be obeyed in order for our physical body to continue functioning properly. And these 8 governing areas and physical laws were in air, sunlight, temperance, rest, exercise, diet, water, and trust. We then spent last time examining into the areas and laws that surrounded air, sunlight, and temperance, and we also learned what spiritual lessons each of these taught us. We discovered in the area and law of air that we need to breathe in a full and pure supply of oxygen and to continuously expel poisonous CO2 or carbon dioxide from us. And these 2 things must be done in order to maintain our physical health. In like manner, we need to allow the pure Lord Jesus Christ to fully fill us with himself and to continuously expel poisonous sin and selfishness from us in order to maintain our spiritual health. In the Arian Law of Sunlight, we learned that God created the sun to freely bring us light and healing warmth to all. And in like manner, God has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, whose light and truth brings free healing warmth to us all. Last time we examined into the Arian Law of Temperance and saw that it teaches us that in order to gain good health and to live a long life, we need to avoid the bad, which develops self-denial, and to only perform the good, which develops self-control. And in practicing these virtues, then we're also learning vital skills for how to avoid sin and evil, and to only perform righteousness. This will enable us, through God's grace and strength, to gain good spiritual health and everlasting life. So that's what we learned last time. And today we'll be examining and investigating into the remaining five areas of the laws of health surrounding rest, exercise, diet or nutrition, water, and trust. And then we'll see what spiritual lessons each of these teaches us. And for those that would like to follow along, you can find our quotes at our website at lightministries.com/ID804.htm. And thank you, sister, for putting the link in the room. So if you look at quote number one, the area and law of rest. Now, after a hard day at work, what can be sweeter than to rest your head on a soft pillow and fall asleep? And did you know that when we sleep, the activity of our body changes gears? Certain areas of our brain switch off, while other areas turn on and reorganize the recent information gathered during the day. So instead of providing energy for work, the body systems begin to repair any damage done during the day. They replenish the energy that was used up, and they rejuvenate the system in preparation for waking and another day's activity. So then you can see that our body is built to restore our vigor and strength while we sleep if its laws are not violated. So this means that we cannot cheat on sleep for very long without suffering ill health. Now, as a general rule, every hour of sleep that you obtain before midnight is actually worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight. So every hour of sleep before midnight is worth 2 hours of sleep after midnight. So if you happen to go to bed after midnight, then that is why you feel so tired the next day, because your body did not get enough sleeping and repairing time. But if you fall asleep several hours before midnight, this is also why you wake up refreshed and wide awake earlier in the morning, because your body received the sufficient amount of sleep needed to repair and rejuvenate itself. So generally, it would be best to go to bed about 9 o'clock, no later than 10, especially if you know that you're going to have a very busy day on the morrow. But this law of rest is not just focused upon getting a good night's sleep. If you look at quote number two, We're told in Mark chapter 6, verses 31 to 2. And he, or Jesus, said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now these verses reveal that Jesus and the disciples were very busy throughout the day attending to the needs of the people, and this was so much so that they did not even have time to eat anything. So this means that they had expended a huge amount of energy beyond what they would normally do in any given day. So then where did this extra energy come from that enabled both Jesus and the disciples to do so much work for the people? God has created each one of us with what is called vital force. And this vital force is extra energy stored within our body to be used for any given emergency. So those who, like the disciples, make great exertions to accomplish just so much work in any given time are able to do so by borrowing from this supply of energy contained in the vital force. Now you'll notice in these verses in Mark that after working hard all day, Jesus did not tell his followers that it was okay for them to continue on working hard, even though it was in helping others. But Jesus instead commanded them to stop so that they could go somewhere private and rest a while. Now this rest was absolutely necessary for their health in order to allow them to eat in peace and thus replenish the calories which they had already used up. But this rest was also absolutely necessary in order to replenish their supply of vital force which they had already borrowed from in order to perform so much work in that short amount of time. So they needed rest. So today, those that have worked hard during the day but then continue to labor on when their judgment tells them they need to stop and rest are really never better for their overworking. And this is because they are having to dip into their vital force reserves. Now, vital force can be replenished through resting, whether in just sitting down and not doing anything or in sleeping. It can be replenished. But it takes a lot longer to put back into your vital force reserves what energy was borrowed than it does to use this energy. If you continuously dip into your vital force too often without corresponding rest to recoup it, then you are recklessly using it up, and once your supply of extra energy is gone, it can never be fully restored. And if you use it all up, then when an unforeseen emergency arises, such as a death in the family or some catastrophe, some personal injury or sickness occurs, and you're then forced to rely on your abused vital force reserves, then there's no extra energy left to help you cope and handle this emergency. And then your nerves and body will break down, or you'll succumb to some sickness and have no extra energy to fight it off, and you will die. And there have been individuals that have used their supply of vital force up and have died because of it. Have any of you heard of people dying after playing internet games for many hours in a row? In 2005, there was a 28-year-old man who died presumably from heart failure stemming from exhaustion after he was playing an online computer game for 50 hours with few breaks. He died. And you can find it at the link there. And also, in 2011, a 30-year-old man has died after a three-day online gaming session in which he did not sleep and barely ate. So both of these men were not old. They were still in the prime of life. So then why did they die? The answer is because they had chosen to needlessly and severely overwork themselves in the area of internet gaming. Now, it could have been in any other area, but in this particular instance, it was in internet gaming. So this meant that they had to continuously borrow extra energy from their vital force day after day, hour after hour, until there was no more energy left. And then they died. So rest is extremely important. So then let us all be sure that we not only get a good and proper sleep at night, but that we also avoid needlessly overworking ourselves, even in what may be the Lord's work, and thus recklessly use up our vital force that we'll need to have in order to handle any emergency. And if we use it all up, then we risk ending our life prematurely. So if we've worked hard during the day, then make sure you have time to rest to begin replenishing what vital energy you used, and make sure you get enough beneficial sleep at night to rejuvenate your body. But that brings up the question as to why did God create our body with the need for rest? God doesn't need to rest, so why did he create us with the need to rest? And what important spiritual lessons does this teach us? If you look at quote number 3, just as physical rest and recuperation is necessary to be healthy, and without it, we would soon die. So spiritual rest is just as essential for our well-being, and without it, we will just as surely die, but this would be an eternal death. And it is only God that can provide you and me with this spiritual rest. True spiritual rest is a rest from the guilt that's pressed upon each of us because of our sins. And it is only through Jesus Christ that any of us can be set free from our pressing guilt and thus escape the bondage of sin. In Romans 6, verses 16 and 23, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And our Savior mercifully declares that if you will just obey his call to come unto me, then he promises that I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. So this promise is a prescription that you can follow for the healing of all your physical, mental and spiritual wounds and ills. So even though you may have brought suffering upon yourself by choosing to do wrong, yet Christ still regards you with pitying tenderness and kindness and calls you to come unto me. In Jesus, you will find true and lasting help because he will do great things for all who choose to come to him for rest. And since Jesus is the Lord also of the Sabbath, that we're told in Luke 6 verse 5, then a good portion of the spiritual rest is found in keeping God's Sabbath day holy. If you look at quote number 4, in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we see that God created a 7-day weekly cycle with the seventh day as a Sabbath day of rest. And he not only created it this way, but he commanded his followers to follow this pattern. So God is the creator of the 7-day weekly cycle. And did you know that even science has proven this to be true? Scientific researchers have discovered that our body's hormones, its immune responses to infections and disease, its production of blood and chemicals in the urine, and even the heartbeat and blood pressure all operate on a 7-day pattern called circadian rhythms. Now, this is not the 24-hour daily cycle called circadian rhythm, but this is a 7-day weekly cycle called circumseptum rhythm. So this reveals that this 7-day cycle is deeply etched into our DNA and could not have been the invention of any society, including the Israelites. And it's not just the human body system that functions on this circadian cycle. Experiments that were conducted by scientist Franz Halberg showed that 7-day cycles govern fundamental aspects in the lives of flies, in the lives of rats, and other living things. Other scientists have discovered that there are no cycles which occur in every 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 or 10 days, but only every 7 days. They also discovered that this weekly cycle was of very ancient origin because it appeared in very primitive one-celled organisms and even in bacteria. Now, there's nothing in Earth's seasons or its tides, or its orbits, or any other aspect of external nature that accounts for a 7-day week. There's also nothing in the stellar heavens that follows a 7-day cycle, and so there is no astronomical reason for it. So then this clearly reveals that the 7-day weekly cycle had to originate from a completely different source, which is not connected with or influenced by either the human or animal or plant or insect or microbial or any other natural kingdom, and not from the stellar bodies themselves. So this gives great reason and even conclusive evidence to understand that our Creator God built into the cellular functioning of every living creature on this earth a circa-septum rhythmic cycle. And since God is the creator of the 7-day rhythm, then any deviation from it would bring negative consequences. And history has revealed these consequences. Just after the French Revolution began in 1793, France adopted a 10-day week. Now, the revolutionaries did this with the intent to de-Christianize the country of France and also to increase its productivity. But France only followed this 10-day weekly cycle for about 12 years. And the reason was because they saw a very noticeable decrease in productivity among their populace. They saw that there was a great increase in injuries, in exhaustion and illness among its people. They saw the mental institutions quickly filling up to capacity and even beyond that. They even saw that the animals that were used in various kinds of labor, such as agricultural labor, were increasingly collapsing and dying at astounding rates. All because they changed the cycle of the week. And so France went back to a 7-day cycle, and things reverted back to normal. Quite amazing. Other cultures and societies tried making the work week less than 7 days. But they also saw that productivity among their workers gradually lessened to a trickle of what it once was, and so they reverted back to the 7-day week. So a shorter work week had the negative effect to reduce productivity, while a longer work week had the negative effect of causing an unsustainable strain on the workers. So this again gives us conclusive evidence that mankind, as well as animals, all function at their best when operating on a 7-day cycle with 1 day as a rest day, just as our Creator God established in the beginning. Now, I gave you links and references to back up everything that I shared with you on the scientific understanding as well as the historical facts in this instance. So this shows us that just as God created the 7-day week with the first 6 days to be working days and the 7th day as a holy rest day, so then in following this divine pattern, the 7th day Sabbath becomes a weekly reminder for us that Jesus is our Creator as well as our Redeemer and Savior from sin. So on the holy Sabbath hours of each Saturday of every week, Jesus personally invites you to separate yourself from all earthly activities and cares so that you might enter into this special rest, this special Sabbath together with him, and be refreshed, not just physically from not working, but spiritually. In Hebrews 4, verses 4, 9 through 11. For he, or God, spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. There remaineth therefore a rest, or a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall. That means to be lost. After the same example of unbelief. So let us follow the example and the command of our God and enter with him into Sabbath rest every Saturday from sundown Friday to sundown Sabbath, Saturday night, so that we will not lose eternal life through unbelief, through not obeying our God. Now, just as someone who chooses to disregard this area and law of rest by overworking themselves will gradually lose all their physical energy and then forfeit their life, so those who choose to disregard the law of rest on the Sabbath by continuing to work over these sacred hours will gradually lose their spiritual energy and then forfeit eternal life. We're told in Exodus 31, verses 13 to 15, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, or make you holy. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So those who choose to disregard this area and law of rest by breaking the Sabbath will not just suffer physically, but will also suffer spiritually and lose life. But those who instead choose to follow God's commandment to work 6 days but rest on his holy seventh day Sabbath, then God will bless them. He will preserve and sanctify their spiritual life, and they will indeed obtain eternal life. We're told in Matthew 19, verses 16 to 17. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And in Revelation 22:14, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. But dear ones, it's more than this. God will also see to it that your physical life is also blessed and preserved when you keep his commandments. So it's not just your spiritual life, but also your physical life that will be benefited. In Exodus 15, verse 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So let us indeed follow this area and law of health dealing with rest. And in following God's will in this area, he will see to it that we are blessed with physical as well as spiritual health. So that's the law dealing with rest. But what about the area and law dealing with exercise? If you look at quote number 5, after God created mankind, he commanded that they were to have daily exercise, and this was both before and after sin. We're told in Genesis 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That involved exercise. In Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That again involves exercise. So both before sin as well as after sin, God created mankind to have daily exercise. And daily exercise has been shown to be an excellent way to slow down the effects of aging as well as to enhance the quality of life. And the best form of exercise is walking. When you walk, all the limbs and organs of the body are brought into proper use. And there's no exercise that can take the place of walking, including running. Running can adversely affect the feet, the ankles, the knees, and the hips, as well as jar our inside organs if it's not done properly. But walking is so much more gentle and kind to all of these areas of our bodies. Walking 1 or more miles each day greatly improves the circulation of the blood. The action of the heart becomes more perfect. And with regular exercise of 10 to 15 minutes each day for 6 days of every week, the heart will be strengthened to pump more volume of blood per beat, thus allowing it to rest longer between beats, which increases life. This activity also lessens the time it takes for the poisons and toxins to be eliminated from your system. And this is because about a third of all impurities in your body are eliminated through the skin. And so if you exercise long enough, allowing the pores of your skin to open and discharge these impurities in the sweat, then you're helping your body eliminate one third of all the poisons that it needs to eliminate during that day. So then if you don't exercise long enough in order to sweat, then you're forcing your body to eliminate this extra one third of poisons in different ways. So daily exercise long enough to sweat is important. Exercise is also important to our digestion as well as to our lungs. By exercise, the lungs expand and then become stronger in expanding, which allows them to be able to take in more oxygen and also to expel more poisonous gas. The effect of this is increased volume of oxygen and expelling of CO2 will allow your body to gain new vitality and become invigorated, and will also help it to overcome bad health. So if you're suffering from bad health, exercise is a very important way to overcome bad health. So just because you're sick doesn't mean you should avoid exercising. Also, your immune system is strengthened and enhanced by daily exercise. So this is why exercise has been shown to help in preventing disease, including cancer, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol, because it helps to invigorate the body and to overcome ill health. Also, when you exercise, your lymphatic system is aided in the circulation of lymph fluid, which is necessary to fight off infections. And exercise increases the circulation of the lymph fluid from 5 to 15 times more during vigorous exercise than it would be just sitting down. And exercise is free. You don't have to go to the doctor for a prescription of it and pay his fee for that prescription. Exercise is free. And as you partake of it, then remember to give glory and praise to your Creator God for the gift and ability to live and move and have our being, which is Acts 17:28. You know, those who do not take time to exercise will have to take time to be sick. So if you believe that you're too busy in your schedule to exercise, then you're going to have to work into your schedule time to be sick. So then let each of us establish a regular time for walking or other forms of exercising and thus aid your body in regaining or maintaining health. And that way, you'll not only be able to live longer, but you will also be free from sickness and pain. And in being free from those things, then how can you not be happy? And if you're happy, then you will better glorify God. But this also brings up the question as why did God create our body's need for exercise? Why did He create us to exercise? And what important spiritual lessons does this teach us? If you look at quote number 6, just as we must exercise in order to maintain good health, so we must also exercise our faith in order to maintain good spiritual health. Physical exercise aids in the body's efforts to expel poison, as well as to heal weakness, sickness, and disease in our life. So exercising our faith aids the Holy Spirit's efforts to expel sin and selfishness, as well as to heal weakness, sickness, and disease in our spiritual life. And just as exercise increases our physical strength and endurance, so exercising our faith will increase our spiritual strength and endurance, thus making us more able to endure unto the end that we can be saved, which is Matthew 10:22. So as we exercise our body, let us not neglect to also exercise our faith in God. And we need to do so on a daily basis for both. So in exercising our body as well as exercising our faith each day, we can be healthy both physically and spiritually, and thus enabled to live a stronger, longer, and better life on this earth, as well as on the new earth throughout eternity. And between these two areas, spiritual exercise is by far the best. In 1 Timothy 4:8, we're told, "For bodily exercise profiteth little for salvation, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." So let us indeed begin to exercise our bodies and our faith on a daily basis, and thus become more healthy physically and spiritually, and able to praise God and endure unto the end that we might obtain eternal life. So that's the area and law of exercise. Now next time we'll continue investigating into these eight areas and laws of health, and we'll discover about the remaining three areas, which are diet and nutrition, water, and trust. And so we hope to see you next time, dear ones. And praise God for being as wise as He is, and for being such a wonderful, merciful God, teacher, and instructor in righteousness. Our closing song is "Don't Forget the Sabbath." It's part of the area and law of rest. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, "I am the living way." And if we meekly follow
our Savior here below, He'll give us of the fountain
whose stream eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Welcome, welcome, ever welcome,
blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, its golden hours we'll spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. How precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. What a merciful, wise, and compassionate Creator God we have the privilege and honor to serve and to worship. Everything that God does is with wisdom and purpose. And praise God for making us so fearfully and wonderfully made, which points us directly to Him as our Creator and God. Praise His holy name. It's time for closing prayer. And would someone here like to offer that to the Lord? Please feel free.
Father God, thank you for the Tuesday. Thank you for everything, for letting us wake up this morning, and I hope that everybody will be blessed. Just name, amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank you for the lesson that you provided for us to be able to learn how to keep our body as you have created us to be, Father God. For letting us know and having the understanding of what you mean when you said that you have created man in your own image. I ask, O Lord, that you continue to be with all of us as we go on our separate individual ways and as a family and as a whole, Father God, as we continue to keep your Sabbath day holy. Continue to minister to our hearts and speak to our spirits, Father God. And
amen. And thank you, dear sisters. So praise God indeed for creating us the way that we have been created and for teaching us valuable spiritual lessons as to why we are created to function the way that we do. It just leads us to appreciate and be so much more grateful to Him who is our life. So amen indeed. Now, before we open it up to questions and answers, our dear sister Michelle has come across a wonderful presentation on YouTube that I would like to, and she would like to have presented to you here. I pray, dear ones, that you were blessed by that, and thank you, dear sister, for bringing that link to our attention. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments from our sermon or other studies today? Any songs that you'd like to sing, testimonies that you'd like to give, praises to God that you'd like to bring forth, anything that you would like to share, please feel free.
Speaking of rest, I tried to find the song Rest for the Weary and I couldn't find it, but I have another one that I may share with you. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes are sweeter than mine. Your words have reason and rhyme. Your song will last throughout time. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. When things come I can't understand, help me trust you the best that I can. Give me peace, Lord, wherever I am. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song.
Amen, dear brother. And that's the first time I remember hearing that particular hymn. So thank you so much for singing it.
Let your light so shine for men,
that they may see your good works,
and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16.
Let your light so shine for men, that they may see your good works,
and glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
I like to sing a hymn that I sang just months ago. It's called When Love Shines In.
Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every light that world can send when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away, turn our darkness into day when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. How the world will grow with beauty when love shines in. And the heart rejoice in duty when love shines in. Trials may be sanctified and the soul in peace abide. Life will all be glorified when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Darkest sorrow will go brighter when love shines in. And the heaviest burden lighter when love shines in. Tis the glory that will throw light to show us where to go. Oh, the heart shall blessing know when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in. How the heart is tuned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. We may have unfading splendor when love shines in. And our friendship true and tender when love shines in. When earth's victory shall be won and our life in heaven begun, there will be no need of sun when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And I would like to share another hymn. And the hymn is called Shall You, Shall I. Someone will enter the pearly gates by and by, by and by. Days of the glory that here await, shall I, shall you, shall I. Someone will travel the street of gold, beautiful vision will there behold. Face of the pleasure so long foretold, shall I, shall you, shall I. Someone will gladly his cross lay down, by and by, by and by. Faithful approved shall receive a crown, shall I, shall you, shall I. Someone the glorious king will see, ever from sorrow on earth be free. Happy with him through eternity, shall I, shall you, shall I. Someone will knock when the door is shut, by and by. By and by, hear a voice saying, I know you not, shall you, shall I. Someone will call and shall not be heard, vainly will strive when the door is heard. Someone will fail of the same reward, shall you, shall I. Someone will sing the triumphant song, by and by, joining the praise with the blood-bought throng, shall you, shall I. Someone will greet of the golden shore, loved ones on earth who have gone before, safe in the glory forevermore, shall you, shall I.
Love, a word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it means to really love somebody. Love, though the tears may fade away, I'm so glad your love will stay. 'Cause I love you, and you show me, Jesus, what it really means to love. Love, a word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it means to really love somebody. Oh, love, though the tears may fade away, I'm so glad your love will stay. 'Cause I love you, and you showed me, Jesus, what it really means to love. The nights that I cried, you loved me. When I should have died, you loved me. I'll never know why you love me. It's a mystery to me. Now I'm glad to see Jesus. When all hope was gone, you loved me. You gave me a song that you love me. Now I can go on 'cause you love me. It's a mystery to me. Now I'm glad to see Jesus. What it really means. What it really means. What it really means to love. When my hope was gone, you loved me. You gave me a song that you love me. Now I can go on 'cause you love me. It's a mystery to me. Now I'm glad to see Jesus. When all hope was gone, you loved me.
You gave me a song that you love me. Now I can go on cause you love me. It's a mystery to me, now I'm glad to see Jesus. What it really means. What it really means. What it really means to love.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister, and dear sister Rose, and brother Josh, and brother Dick. Wonderful. Spiritual hymns. Thank you so much. There's also been a request to sing the hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And it's always good to sing these songs more than once. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than men applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king in a vast domain or be held in way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than the lily of the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than the honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hunger and spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him be than to be a king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. And thank you so much for this suggestion to sing it again. And also, thank you, dear sister Yee Yee and brother Blue, for bringing this wonderful hymn to our attention and for singing it for us first a few months back. Dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other songs, any other comments, any testimonies that you'd like to give? Please feel free.
I just want to sing the little song that it is bilingual for those that are Spanish also listening in the background. May the Lord prepare us. Oh Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh, Jesus Cristo, ven, prepárame para hacerme tu santuario con pureza y santidad. Afligida por verdad, con tus gracias, yo seré un santuario para ti. Oh Lord, prepare us to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, we'll be a living sanctuary for you. Oh Dios, prepáranos para hacernos un santuario puro y santo, justo y fiel. Con tus gracias, yo seré.
Before I leave, I would like to read an excerpt from the devotional as an answer to the question regarding taking care of the sick physicians, and it doesn't cover the law enforcement, but I would like to share this with you. And this was taken from My Life Today, entitled Walking Where Jesus Walked, and it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. According to the fourth commandment, the Sabbath was dedicated to rest and religious worship. All secular employment was to be suspended, but works of mercy and benevolence were in accordance with the purpose of the Lord. They were not to be limited by time or place. To relieve the afflicted, to comfort the sorrowing, is a labor of love that does honor to God's holy day. The necessities of life must be attended to. The sick must be cared for. The wants of the needy must be supplied. He will not be held guiltless who neglects to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. God's holy rest day was made for man, and acts of mercy are in perfect harmony with its intent. God does not desire his creatures to suffer an hour's pain that may be relieved upon the Sabbath or any other day. The Sabbath is not intended to be a period of useless inactivity. The law forbids secular labor on the rest day of the Lord. The toil that gains a livelihood must cease. No labor for worldly pleasure or profit is lawful upon that day. But as God sees his labor of creating and rested upon the Sabbath and blessed it, so man is to leave the occupations of his daily life and devote those sacred hours to healthful rest, to worship, and to holy deeds. The work of Christ in healing the sick was in perfect accord with the law. It honored the Sabbath. Labor to relieve the suffering was pronounced by our Savior a work of mercy and no violation of the Sabbath.
The needs of suffering humanity are never to be neglected. The Savior, by his example, has shown us that it is right to relieve suffering on the Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. And if you think about it, that's exactly what Christ taught in delivering the sanctuary services and everything that took place to the priests, to the Israelites, as well as what Christ did in his personal life among the people. The priests in the sanctuary did more work on the Sabbath than they did any other day of the week, and that's because they had more activities in ministering for the people before the Lord on the Sabbath than they did other days. And Christ, when you look at the scriptures, they bring out more of his healing taking place on the Sabbath than any other day of the week. So in that regard, Christ ministered personally for the benefit of the sick on the Sabbath, and that was not breaking the Sabbath law because he was ministering to others. So he wasn't ministering to himself and earning a livelihood on the Sabbath. He was ministering for the benefit of others, especially in healing. So hospitals have to be kept open on the Sabbath, working for the sick, ministering for them, not getting paid a salary, but ministering for the benefit of others on the Sabbath is permitted without breaking the sacredness of the day. So thank you, dear sister, for that quotation. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we close? Please feel free. It's been a wonderful church service, dear ones, and fellowship with you all. Thank you so much for making it such a wonderful service, and praise be to our God for allowing us to have his word of inspiration to know and understand his words of instruction, and to plead for forgiveness and for grace and strength to follow it. I pray that God will continue to lead and guide you ever onward and upward, and may you more and more focus upon the lovely, beautiful image of your Savior and be transformed into his image, his character, step by step each day. And instead of leaving you with a scripture song this time, I'd like to leave you with a hymn. And please feel free to join along if you'd like. You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band.
You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Then we'll shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over. We will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity. We will spend eternity. We will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Which is sounding through the air.
You will see the Lord coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Amen, dear ones. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you next Sabbath, or perhaps Wednesday evening. And don't forget about the Sunday afternoon meeting, as well as the Monday night meeting. And until we meet again, keep looking up.
I just want to read this little part of daily prayer for building character, and then I'm going to end it with a song connected to the paragraph. No outward observance can take the place of simple faith and entire renunciation of self, but no man can empty himself of self. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work. Then the language of our soul will be, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak and Christ-like self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of thy love can flow through my soul. Thy love can flow through my soul. That was taken from Christ Object Lesson, page 159, paragraph 3. Sabbath blessing, everyone. God bless everyone.
Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is thy property, keep it pure, for I cannot keep it for thee, keep it pure. Lord, take my heart, save me in spite of myself, my weak unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich currents of thy love can flow through my soul. Christ Object Lessons 153.